Hey friends, welcome to Naked in Truth, the podcast that's designed to open up your mind, to help you break down walls and barriers in your life that you might not even know exist yet. But don't worry, every wall that we break down together on this podcast allows you the opportunity to level up and create your impact. With that being said, I think it's time for us to get honest, vulnerable, and naked in truth. Well, hello, 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 and welcome back to the Naked in Truth podcast. It is your host, Sari D, and I hope that when you're listening to this today, that it is the best day ever. Now, we have a guest speaker on today. It is a life coach who has been on the podcast before, and his name is Tyler Charlebois. Now, this is super exciting, guys, because he is an expert in emotional control. He has helped dozens when it comes to people overcoming feeling suicidal. He's helped people with PTSD. He is trained under the one and only Tony Robbins and Chloe Madonis. So, Tyler, can you say hi to our guest today?
What is going on, guys? I'm super excited to be here and I appreciate you having me on again.
Of course. So if you guys aren't aware, we have done two other podcasts prior. So one of the podcasts was about why cheaters cheat. The other one was touching on anxiety and depression and where we come into being able to control that. So if you guys have not checked out those episodes, make sure that you go back because they are gold. Now we are about to continue teaching you guys about emotional control and how we can continue to grow our mental health in a positive way. So, Tyler, I know that you're an expert in this field. That's why I have you on again, because something that I'm really noticing is since the pandemic, since tech has really become so front force in our life, you know, it's been interesting because you would think that the things that we went through would draw us closer as a community. But what I'm noticing is that people are really shelled off lately. They don't know how to communicate. And more concerning than anything else is the fact that they don't know how to control their own emotions. And they're in a point where they've felt, where they're currently feeling lower than they've ever felt before. And I'd love to just get a little bit of feedback from you because you hear from so many different people. And I'd like to hear if you agree with this trend that I'm currently seeing.
Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the biggest things right off the bat is anytime I'm working with anyone who has any level of feeling anxious or feeling, you know, depressed, notice just for the record, side note, I'm saying feeling anxious, not and feeling depressed, not has depression or anxiety, but that's a whole other topic. The common theme for all of these people is they're not feeling like there's that much of a compelling future, right? And like you mentioned, since the pandemic especially, but just everything in terms of technology and the pandemic and how we've kind of grown as a society, or I can't say grown, but how we've kind of the direction we've gone, no one feels like there's that much of a compelling future. We all think everything is going to be doom and gloom now because that's what you see on social media. That's what you see on the news. That's what like everyone's talking about. And the reason specifically is because it's really hard to get your eyeballs if everyone's like, oh, this weekend it'll be nice and sunny and rainbows and sunshine. And you're like, great. But if it's like big storm coming, you need to prepare the kids. You're going to buy that newspaper, so to speak. I mean, you know, in the old days, like
absolutely,
it's got to get your attention. And so since the pandemic, what I've noticed in my marketing, especially with my clients, is whenever I'm talking to them and we're going deep, I was surprised to hear this, but 99% of them are saying that they've been depressed and anxious since 2020, meaning the pandemic.
Wow.
And I think it's a really interesting topic because for me, I don't know about you or a lot of people in my social circle, but after the first like 2 or 3 months of the like the initial stuff happening in March of 2020, I was like, all right, we're good to go.
Right.
Even though there was masks and there was mandates, like emotionally, I was like, all right, cool. What's next? I'm ready to live my life again.
100%.
And so when I'm hearing about so many people stuck, so to speak, emotionally in the past, about it's like 4 years ago now, it made me think like, what is really going on? And when I dug in, it's nobody believes that there's that much of a compelling future.
Yeah.
And they don't believe that they can create anything beyond what was or what currently is. Now they're afraid to leave their home still 4 years later.
And this is what I want to touch on today is us not recognizing the pre-programming that elites essentially do to us overall. Now, when I talk about elites, it can be as simple as school. It can go as high as government power. But the truth is that we are being pre-programmed on so many different levels. And it can be something as simple as, like you said, the storm is coming. Make sure that you go and stock up on this. Because when we're feeling any type of fear, or if we feel like we are not, and this is actually another thing that came out of the pandemic more than anything, is not feeling like you fit in with everybody else. Like if you're not doing what everybody else is doing, then that means that there's something wrong with you. And that is not the truth either, because following the masses is not always the way to go, especially when we recognize that we are being influenced in so many different ways on the decisions that we're making. And I don't think that people recognize that it comes down to an emotional level. It's not just about this impulse buy where we need to go and buy something because something's about to happen, but we're really being pre-programmed into feeling like shit about ourselves. You know, I want to use Instagram as a really good example. The algorithm is changing all the freaking time. And if I can be completely honest with you, what is being promoted is being pre-programmed as to what they want us to be able to see, right? And so many people are looking at social media, feeling like these people are living such a beautiful life and they got these beautiful bodies and perfect relationships, and it makes them feel like they're not enough. And so, in an instance where social media was supposed to allow for us to, you know, create better communities, learn about each other, all we're doing is pulling back and feeling like what we have isn't enough, even though a lot of what we're seeing isn't even real.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because there's two things that came up for me when you said that. Number one is one of the needs that we all have as human beings is to grow. Like, if we're not growing in our relationship, our business, our finances, our health, whatever areas of life matter to you, if we're not feeling like we're making progress and growing towards something greater, we feel like we're dying inside emotionally. So when we see all these things on social media, as an example, there's pros and cons. The pros are we need something to be able to say, I want that. I want to move in that direction. Now, we've all been, this is a whole other topic, but we've all been in a position where we've had a goal and we've been working so hard. And the second you hit the goal, you're excited for a day, a week, a month, maybe a year. Maybe if you're lucky, you hit a year. But after a while of having that goal met, you're like, is this all there is? So it's kind of empty. Because the whole purpose of having a goal or a vision is to grow towards it into the person you'll become who's going to eventually attain it. It's not about the goal. So social media has that pro, right? It's got that benefit to it. The problem is, this is something I teach my clients, and it's so basic, but it's so real, is that if we're always focusing on our mind, or pardon me, in our mind, if we're always focusing on what we don't currently have, and what we're not enough of, we're always going to feel depressed, anxious, so on and so forth.
Bringing that on
Side.
ourselves.
Yeah. And so we've made it like this mental, we've put the mental health field into some kind of crazy story of like, it's an illness, it's a disorder, it's all these crazy things. But in
Totally.
reality, it's literally the way that we focus on things creates every emotion we have in our experience. That's literally it. So to your point, social media was meant to connect us. It really, the intent, if you watch like The Social Dilemma as an example, the intent was pure. They wanted everyone to connect, to share, to love, to do fun, cool things. And by total fucking accident, it went the exact opposite direction. The mental health, so to speak, is on the rise, and everyone's getting more depressed and anxious than they've ever been.
What's really interesting on what you said there is I think that there's like a fine line of really being able to recognize our power in our emotional control of, you know, whether you want to look at it as anger and lashing out, like we have the ability to control those things, you know, the
Yes.
same as anxiety, the same as depression. I used to be the kind of person where I would just lash out. And even though I know that there was some hormonal imbalances that were happening there, so much of that I was able to overcome because it's just making me feel an emotion that I am currently tying to something that needs to be negative. Right.
Yeah.
So, what I want to note here, just real quickly before we move on to that, is the fact of so many scientific studies have been done that when our needs are met as humans, you know, we have our shelter, we have our water, we have our food, we don't really feel like we have any problems. We start creating them. And that's
Yes.
our desire for growth, which is what you just mentioned prior. But then, as you had said too, there is so many instances where if we solely focus on what we don't have, recognizing that growth doesn't need to be a bad thing, that we're going to allow for ourselves to feel like we're not enough, to feel like we're anxious, to feel like we have depression. And it's that fine line of, hey, we do need growth, we do need problems. But that's what people don't understand is that problems don't have to be a bad thing. And this is what I want to touch on next is just that connotation of the way that we have correlated emotions to words, emotions to things that happen in life. Like I know that you had a post recently and we were talking, you know, it had a lot of positive feedback, but it also had a lot of backlash on it, right? And I think
Yeah.
that that's great because those are the people who are backlashing, not recognizing their power in how they can control their emotions. So, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about that post and where you were teaching people on that?
Yeah, so first of all, the responses, the good and the bad, so to speak, I don't even want to say good and bad, the positive and negative, for lack of better terms, it was a perfect example of what I was talking about. So it's
Totally.
funny that, like, the post that I wrote, which I'll explain in a moment, literally the feedback I got on it proved what I was saying in the post, which I thought was humorous. I was gonna delete it at one point because I'm like, this is pathetic. But I was like, no, like, this is just the perfect
This is the
example of it.
whole purpose.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna leave it there. And it's still getting comments to this day. And I didn't think it's one of those posts, by the way, just like human to human. It was one of those posts where you're like, what do my viewers need today? I'm not going to plan this out. Let's just make this. This will be fun. I
Totally.
did it between sets at the gym. It was such a random post, but I'm like, this will be fun. Boom. So the post, in essence, I can't remember the whole thing, but the essence of it was I started with words like, and this will be a perfect example for your podcast listeners too, because they're going to have their emotional responses, good and bad too, but this will be interesting. It started with four words. I don't remember the specifics, but it was something like, cock, suicide, bitch, cunt. I think those actually were the
Yeah.
words in that order, maybe. And I tried to think of some of the worst words I could think of to that would like really get people going. And I basically said, whatever your automatic emotional responses were to these words, have nothing to do with the words. They have everything to do with what you've been conditioned to decide that those words mean. Let me give you a classic example, and then I'll explain the rest of it first. At the very end of the post, I said words like fuzzy, cozy, warm, and soft, or something. And I said, those words, you probably have a whole different set of feelings when you read them. But I said, those feelings have nothing to do with those words either. This is the classic example I give people. Let's pretend that I, Tyler, am Sarah's dad. Let's just pretend I raised you.
Totally.
And every time I said, Sarah, I love you so much. If I traded that word love for the word hate, and I said the exact same thing, I was like, Sarah, I hate you so much. And I give you a nice big hug, nice, kiss on the forehead. You're my daughter, whatever. You're going to learn to associate what we call loving feelings. You're going to learn to associate those warm, fuzzy, protected, safe, cozy feelings to the word hate. Because it's just a sound.
Totally.
And so that post was a point of proving that, like, yes, right now, I'm sure a majority of your listeners, when they hear those words, I don't remember them now, cock, whatever it was, the point is not to trigger us here. The point is to explain we've learned to associate certain feelings to certain words or certain feelings to certain experiences of life. So the whole piece that, like, my whole career is about showing people, It does not matter what happens in your life. I'm not saying there's not difficult times, like we just said, like they're made, they're put in our life so that we can grow. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what actually goes on in your life. How you feel about it has nothing to do with what's happening. It has to do with the meaning that you're attaching to it. Does this mean they hate you? Does this mean they're challenging you? Are they coaching you? Are they provoking you for fun? Are they doing a social experiment? Are they flirting with you and they don't know how to do it very well? Like, what are they
Totally.
doing? What's the meaning?
And I think that that is such a great example. And going back to the daddy daughter example, let's just say like you're coming home and you like the daughter's coming home and she wanted to, or she just finished achieving something great at school and she's looking for that endearment from her father, but her father just doesn't give it to her, right? And doesn't say good job or whatever. And we start building that up, thinking that, okay, then we aren't worth it because we're not correlating the words that we think that we should hear with that. You see where I'm going with that? Like it can be so much deeper than just like than just the word itself. It's so much is our expectations because of the way that we've been programmed of how things should be reciprocated as well. And what I find very interesting is like, let's just use learning a new language as an example. Unless we know the meaning of that word, we're just learning a word.
This is what fascinates me. So I've taken what I believe to be like the mental health field, and hopefully I can create what I'm trying to do here over my decades in my personal brand and in my life and in my mission is bring the mental health field and spin it into a way of understanding that it's not even mental health, it's learning.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean learning about mental health just for your listeners to understand. I mean, like, what we call mental health, for example, someone feels super anxious about getting into a car, as a simple example. That was a learned response. Like them feeling, oh God, oh God, oh God, okay, I gotta get my car. Like that emotion is a learned response. Because if
100%.
it was actually about the car, everybody in the world would feel that way towards the car because it would be the car giving that feeling. It's not the car. Your brain, aka your neurology, has learned to associate because of one experience or two experiences you've had in a car. Your brain trying to protect you is like, hold on, being in a car equals getting hurt. Therefore, when I think about getting in a car, I get anxious. But it's not, you can change that response in fucking minutes. And that's like my obsession is to show people if it's just a learned response, you can unlearn it just as fast as you learned it. The problem is most of us aren't taught how,
And that's the
right? And
thing is that
so
there's a
that's
level of
my big.
self responsibility that we need to take in regards to our emotions, not recognizing that we aren't all ill. We aren't all sick with depression and sick with anxiety, but we're gonna believe that we are if we keep telling ourselves that because that's the response that we're choosing to take, that there's something actually wrong with me. I need help, not that I'm just feeling something and that I'm correlating something negative to what I'm going through, right?
100%. Can I actually give a prime example on this?
Would
I
love
think this
that.
is really important. So I was telling Sarah before we hopped on and started recording here about like I love giving extreme examples, real life examples, but extreme ones because the way I see it is that if you as the listener can hear the example that I'm about to give, it's nothing triggering, by the way, it really isn't. It's just a good example. If you can hear this example and understand how it works and how we can get through it and slash heal it, I don't even believe, side note, I don't even believe in healing these things. To me, it's relearning.
Yeah.
Like, what are you healing? You're healing a response? No, you're just changing it. So
Totally.
if we can unlearn and relearn new responses to what I'm about to say here, to this extreme example, then we can do it for like asking the guy out or getting in the car or whatever else it might be in our daily lives. So here's the perfect example. I had a client who came to me last year, it was last summer, and I can't disclose her name because she didn't even talk about it in her testimonial, but I will just say the pattern because that's fine. The pattern was she was in the military
Okay.
and she at one point was deployed somewhere and she was hearing missiles, go over her. That's pretty like intense.
Of
So
course.
think about this. She had learned to associate, missiles going overhead. What do you picture in your mind is going to happen? Well, it's going to land somewhere
That's
around you.
exactly it. Your potential death, right?
Your potential death. So the sound of like or whatever the fuck the sound would be. Like, pretend that whistle, like, soon is what you hear. You might not, and she, to her luck, she didn't even get hurt by them. She just heard them all the time. But she learned to associate. Like, what do you picture, just in brief, Sarah, what do you picture when you imagine, like, that, like, whistle of a missile, and then you hear, like, a big explosion? What do you picture in your mind is happening by that explosion?
Chaos, death, fear, all of these probably really stick. I would associate with something scary.
100%. So the way that our nervous system works is it will link the sounds and imagery and the smells, like any of the five senses. It learns to link those senses to feelings. So let's draw
I
this
can
example
believe
out,
that.
right? So she was, and this is going to be one of my favorite podcasts that I've ever recorded with anyone now, because I've never explained it in this specific, unless it was on like a paid training that clients do. Missiles coming over, you're hearing that, like, whistle that I wish I could make the sound, like, or
I know
whatever.
exactly what you're
And
talking about. Yeah.
then somewhere around you in the distance, you hear,
Boom.
and you picture in your mind, you can't even help it. This is how the mind works. You picture. I'm going to be graphic here. So you got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your warning was given. You picture bodies going up. You picture death. You picture all the gruesome things.
Totally.
Whether or not you experienced it and saw it and felt it, your mind pictured it. And you felt the fear in your body of maybe you're next. Maybe it was a loved one. Maybe it was your associate. Maybe it was your coworker. So now what have you done? You have totally by accident linked to that fear. So she'd go home. This is why
Yeah.
she worked with me. She went home after deployment, and obviously everyone in her the military base, etc., told her you have PTSD. She tried working with counselors, medication, but that doesn't get rid of the trigger of if she hears a whistle or if she hears her kids playing video games on, like Call of
Yeah.
Duty on their Xbox. It doesn't take the trigger out of her mind, or better yet, out of her nervous system, to hearing that sound and feeling like this craziness in her body. So all we have to do, hear me out, all we have to do is retrain the nervous system to associate different, it's all good, no worries, to different feelings, different emotions towards that sound. Because your nervous system is always trying to protect us. Your brain slash nervous system, the same thing. They connect. It has one job: to keep us safe, to keep us protected, right? To keep us alive. So if your brain associates that sound of that whistle to potential death, anything you hear for the rest of, and unless you quote unquote unlearn this and relearn a new emotion to it, your whole life your nervous system is going to say, wait a second, that whistling sound equaled death somewhere around me, so I need to make sure you freak out so you can run or fight or flight when you hear a whistle or a sound
Totally.
similar.
And like to go along with that, like just with all of your senses as well, like I know that a lot of listeners on here can smell something and it brings you back to a memory, either a good
100%.
memory or a bad memory, right? And I think that even too, like so much of what we're watching, we don't recognize that, we can end up feeling like we can end up feeling like we're scared of something happening just because it happened to somebody else. It doesn't even necessarily need to be somebody that's close to us. But as soon as we associate that feeling that, hey, this is really scary, maybe that might happen to me. Now all of a sudden it becomes a fear. Am I right?
Yep, 100%. And so that's what's interesting about the brain, is that it doesn't need to even be your experience in order to fear the thing, right? Like, a lot of times we're taught this. Like, we're taught, some young girls are taught when they're growing up by a mom who's been hurt by men, like, don't rely on a man, they'll just betray you or they'll hurt you or whatever it might be, or don't travel the world by yourself, or like so many things we're taught. So we didn't even need to have the experience of it. But if your brain is being taught this by someone you really love and care about, a friend, a family, or whatever, you can develop that own fe your own fear of that. And it's never even happened to you. But the brain doesn't know the difference between what you've experienced and what you're just vividly imagining in your mind,
Yeah,
right?
100%.
So these fears are so learned. So when people talk about like PTSD, and I'm going to do a little advertisement on the video version of this, the
Hey.
sweater. I made this specifically for my business. To the listeners, I'll explain what I'm showing the camera in a second, but I made this specifically without context. So people out and about when I'm traveling or whatever, they have to ask me about it and it opens up conversation. I love it. What it says for the people listening is on my sweater, on my hoodie, it says PTSD and that's crossed out. And underneath it, it says PTSR. What PTSR stands for is post-traumatic stress response. Because your nervous system has learned to respond with this, or it's learned to respond with yes, like it's learned to respond with something. It's not a disorder. Yes, it's a disorder in the way that like it messes with your day-to-day functioning, but like it's not a disorder in that you'll have it forever. Like for any of your listeners, you're not a depressed person. You are not an anxious person. You don't have any form of disorder. You've learned to respond these ways. And the good news for you is like, Sarah and I have compassion for you, and that means you can unlearn it. To
Absolutely.
the point of what you were saying, made coffee this morning, and as I'm smelling the coffee, I'm always thinking about these learned responses because I'm such a nerd. And I was thinking, I'm like, huh. Most of us, they turn into a saying growing up, right? Wake up and smell the coffee, like it's a
Right?
fucking saying.
Of course, those commercials.
Yeah, and so I'm laughing and I'm like, we've just learned to associate that. And imagine if coffee was something you drank only at night. Let's pretend that's just when you would drink coffee, right? First of all, that wouldn't be the saying, wake up and smell the coffee. But secondly, you would learn to associate, you know, if you smelled coffee in the morning, you'd be like, what the fuck? It's only 9 a.m. Like,
Right?
you'd be confused because you've learned to associate that smell with nighttime. So it's like, our nervous system is always associating images, sounds, smells, tastes, and physical sensations, those are your
Yeah.
five senses in layman's terms, to feelings, any kind of feeling. So you can take that rape memory as an example, the missile example. You can take a car accident. I've done this with plenty of my clients, dozens of them, where they've had some brutal experiences.
Yeah.
And I've helped them to train their nervous system in probably 5 minutes without exaggeration. Some of them are recorded because I was like smart and actually recorded them. Where in 5 minutes we train their nervous system to start laughing at that exact memory. And then when they bring it up later, or when something quote unquote triggers that memory later on, they have either a neutral feeling or they kind of chuckle.
They're able
Now,
to
that
laugh
doesn't
it off.
mean it doesn't mean you don't protect yourself or take safety measures if ever you enter an abusive relationship, or you know, there's a potential for a car accident because it's snowing, or whatever it might be. It means you get the lesson from it. You make the distinctions between a safe versus a not safe environment, but then it doesn't prevent you from living your life anymore. Like if I was brutally beaten in a relationship, no, I don't want to be brutally beaten again, but do I want to get into another relationship? Yeah, of course. So we need to get rid of these triggers in our nervous system that we've learned so we can live our life, but make the distinctions to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%. Well, and that's the other part with it too, is that a lot of us don't recognize that, us having the emotional control to recognize that we don't need to associate these feelings with whatever it is that we went through doesn't mean that we're not still addressing the issue, right? Like you said, you're still protected. You have learned the lesson from it. And I want to use abusive relationships as a really good example, because when you're trained to believe that you're worth that, you're going to keep repeating that behavior. Even if you get out of an abusive relationship, chances are you're going to pick another one. Right? And so just because you have had that experience, it doesn't mean that you need to repeat that, but that doesn't also mean that you're just sloughing it off as if it didn't happen. And so, something that's really interesting, especially when it comes to when it comes to, emotional responses, something that I ended up going through back at the end of 2022 was I started to have my heart race. Overall, I felt like I was feeling okay, but I really recognized that I was pushing myself really, really hard at those times. So, I was working 18-hour days. Then I was trying to go to the gym at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, like, and I mean into the evening, right? Not being done until 1 or 2 in the morning. compulsively pushing myself with so much caffeine. And then what ended up happening was I went through something serious with family, and that was enough to finally let it fully trigger. And so what was happening was that it was creating my heart to race at rest. And as I was going through this experience, you know, you're going to the doctor, pardon me, you're going to get your heart checked out because obviously I got a family history of heart disease. So I'm like, is something like actually wrong with my heart? And what I ended up learning, it took a long time, but I finally made it into the naturopath where they were willing to test my hormones and see that everything was out of whack. My nervous system was not being able to regulate itself the way that it should. And so its response was making my heart race, right? But that can become really dangerous because of the fact is, are you going to be driving when this happens? All of a sudden, your breathing starts going, right? There's a lot of things that do correlate with it. But because of my experience with you over the years, I knew that there was a level of responsibility that I was able to have over myself, but I wasn't sure where it played there yet. Because what was really interesting was every time that I was trying to learn more about whatever it is that was going on with my nervous system not regulating itself, it's like anxiety, anxiety. The doctor, do you have anxiety? My husband, are you sure it's not just anxiety? My mom, are you sure you don't have anxiety? And I'm like, for fuck's sakes, like I don't feel anxious, but now because everybody is telling me that I'm anxious, it has created an anxiety. And not only just that, but my heart racing for 20 to 30 minutes at a time. Like, I mean, like I went to the hospital in ambulances. It was a really scary time for me. And it started to associate fear, right? And that in and of itself was making me anxious, along with people telling me this is probably just anxiety. It wasn't anxiety that was creating that, but anxiety starts becoming a byproduct of it. It's not that I'm sick with anxiety, but I started to create that emotional connection where it's like, okay, now I'm fucking anxious. I'm scared to drive by myself. I'm scared to go to Edmonton and see all my favorite people. I still haven't been there yet because I still have that little bit where I'm like, what if it goes off again? Right? What if I end up having a stimulant? Because I ended up becoming so sensitive to caffeine and any type of stimulant where I used to be able to smash it from morning till night. You know, I had so many bouts of sobriety that it's like I was drinking coffee all through the night, staying up with the party people sober. And so coffee never affected me, caffeine never affected me. But now it's like that can set my heart off if I have too much of it. And too much of it is like two fucking cups and not having breakfast on my stomach. So, you know, I started all these things that I was able to do prior, all of a sudden became this fear that I can't do this. Maybe I am sick. Maybe I do have anxiety. Maybe I am bringing this on myself, even though during that time, I'm like, I don't feel anxious. I don't actually even really feel that stressed until I started going through the family stuff and really started losing nights of sleep because that sleep is so important for our nervous system and regulating and being able to understand that we aren't the emotions that we're feeling. We are simply just feeling them, right?
And creating them,
And
even
creating
if it's
them.
just unconscious. So a couple things I want to break down about what you said. And if you need to at any point, just like do like put your hand up or something and direct me in the other way because I don't want to go too far off this. But I was creating a couple notes in a Google Doc as you were talking because I'm like, I need the
Ooh.
listeners to hear some things. I'm such a nerd. First thing, and you kind of mentioned this at the beginning of your response to me there was so many people want to figure out the root cause of anxiety or depression or whatever it might be.
Of course.
And it drives me banana sandwich. And the reason is because let's say something happened when you were 5 years old, no matter what it was, something happens to you then. The hypothetical question I like to give my clients is, okay, I'm completely compassionate about that. Let me just ask you a quick question. If that thing at 5 didn't happen, let's pretend it didn't happen. Do you think there could have been something between, say, 5 and 10 years old, something else that might have happened that you could associate what you're feeling now to? And they always go, well, yeah, there's probably something. I'm like, okay, great. Now let's pretend the thing at 5 years old and that second thing didn't happen. Is there something else you could find to probably make the connection with as to why you're feeling this? Well, yeah. And we do this like 6 times. And it illustrates the point that it doesn't really matter where it came from. It's literally irrelevant. What matters is uncovering our beliefs. What is it that I'm believing that is creating these emotional experiences? Because let's say, back to the abuse example, just as a quick one, let's say at, I don't know, 10 years old, I'm abused by my father. Great. Well, not great, but you get the point.
No, of
Great
course.
as an example. Imagine I'm abused by my father at 10 years old. That event is over, right? But what we unconsciously decide to believe about men or authority figures or men who are a certain height or look a certain way because of
Wait.
all of our senses that are
Or smell
recording
a certain scent.
a smell is a fuck. Exactly. You got it, girl. So it's like, it's not the moment or the event that makes us feel shit. It's not that at all. It is your nervous system linking up the situation at hand. It's a man, it's your dad, it's an authority figure, it's a hairy man, it's a smell, it's a certain place that it happened every time. Like, it's
That's
linking.
what's still living in our mind.
Yeah, and it's that's living there which causes the feelings. It's not the event. It is not the event. Like, I'm so compassionate. That's why I wanted to dig into this to really help people because I noticed traditional methods work. So it's not that. It's what are you believing unconsciously about the event that's keeping you here? Because every time you get into a relationship now, it's great because your body and your brain and your soul want the connection and the intimacy and the excitement and passion. But 3 months into it, when it starts to get a bit serious, you shut off and push the man away. Well, why are you doing that? No, not your childhood trauma. I mean, technically, but it doesn't really matter. It's your beliefs about men or about love or about whatever, being protected. So we got to uncover that to get through the feelings. The second thing, though, and again, at any point, just do this. You mentioned hormones. This is really important because a lot of women I work with as well are being told by naturopaths and doctors and such that it's their hormones that are making them feel anxious. And because it's a specialized person, because it's someone who is an authority over us, we deem them as they should know better. The only challenge with this is that hormones absolutely contribute to the feelings we're having, but not the emotions. Let me say that one more time to make this distinction. They create feelings and sensations in our body.
Body, yep.
But feelings and sensations are not emotions until we give it a fucking label.
Correct. And actually,
Because
that's where.
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say with that. So, for example, your cortisol patterns being out of balance, your adrenaline starting to pump. Adrenaline, right, is going to give you a racy feeling in your stomach, and you're going to have your pupils dilated. Like there's a whole stress response to what happens when your adrenaline's pumping because of the sympathetic and like non-sympathetic side of our nervous systems, right? And so what is very interesting though is that when your heart starts to beat faster, when your eyes are dilated, when your breathing starts to become more rapid and shallow, you're going to start associating that with feeling anxious, right? And so even though, so that I know exactly what you're saying, that the emotion that I'm tying to that is anxiety, but what I'm feeling is literally a scientific response of my body of fight or flight. That's really what it comes
100%.
down to. It's trying to protect itself or it's feeling relaxed. And when those things, when we're feeling heightened and our body is going into that flight moment where it's saying, like, you're in danger, that's when you're going to start associating those emotions with what you associate danger with.
100%. Like,
Wow.
and that I see your face, you're like, whoa. And
It just makes
it's
so
like,
much sense.
right? Because I want to be extremely scientific in a very, very, very basic way here, because it ties all of what we've been talking about together. If this is going to be fun, picture your brain as like a little ball right here, right in the center of the screen. And your nervous system, meaning all the five senses, they have connections that go all the way up to the brain, okay? Your brain is where we create meanings. And that's where you and I and all of our, like the listeners listening to this right now, that's where our power is to decide what something means. But think about this. We have sensations because of our hormones, as an example. We have sensations happening in the body because, say, our hormones are off. They're out of balance. I'm not a specialist, but I'm a specialist in emotions. That's why I'm bringing this up. We're having these sensations. And because we've been told, well, anxiety has these kind of sensations and these kind of symptoms in your body, when we are feeling these sensations, all those sensations go up to our brain where you and I have to make a meaning. We have to decide, what does this mean? If we decide that it means we're anxious or we quote unquote have anxiety, now we've literally created a neural pathway, a neural connection to our brain that says all of this shit means anxiety. Now we believe we have anxiety. The problem is, if I believe that all women are bitches, as an example, my brain now is going to have confirmation bias. That's all it's going to see everywhere. So listeners might be like, okay, I'm confused. Slow this down. Here's my point. Now that you've decided it's anxiety, it's always going to be anxiety to you. That's the layman's terms of it, but it's not. I want to draw an example of this. Tony Robbins, my teacher, he was giving us an example one time, me and all the other students. I thought it was brilliant. He said, because he works with superstars, international people, like he works with the biggest of the biggest. He was saying he was once called in to this woman. I don't remember her name, but he was what? No, it's because he didn't give us a name at our own privacy. He was called in to just do this quick turnaround with this woman who is a musician behind stage. And they were in a session together, and he was like, explain to me what's happening. Long story short, she's like, I'm behind stage, and for the podcast listeners, you'll hear it, my voice. For the people watching the video, I assume that there will be one. You can see what I'm doing with my body, okay? So, she's like, talking to Tony, and she's like, so I'm backstage, and like, hair and makeup and all this different stuff, and like, I hear the what do you call it? The back, not the backstage, the like the band on stage before
Yeah,
she goes out.
totally.
Yeah, what's that?
Totally.
Yeah, so she's hearing the music, she's hearing it going, and as the music starts going on the stage, the crowd starts going wild and roaring and excited, and she said, I feel the energy pent up in my body, and then my heart starts racing, my palms start sweating, and then that's what I know, I'm having a panic attack. And so she couldn't do it. So she called that crazy sensation of the adrenaline going, she labeled it panic.
Panic attack.
And so for every time after that, it was panic. She had to cancel her shows. All the fans are disappointed. She was like devastated because she's like, this is my dream and my mission, and I'm excited to deliver to my fans, all this stuff. So Tony helped her out like this, but I want to, that's not the point. The point is what I'm going to say next. He was then a couple years later on this plane with Mick Jagger, so one of the other biggest people in the world who are musicians, who've been doing this for decades longer than that other woman was. And Tony just loves to understand people's experiences. Like, what are your beliefs? What are your values? How to, because he wants to,
Bless me.
yeah, bless you.
Sorry.
He wants to take the most successful behaviors and patterns, figure out how the most successful people are doing it, and bring it to people who need help. That's how he's built his career. So he's
Totally.
talking to, I think it's Mick Jagger, could have been someone else, but some major rock star. They're on this private jet at this bar. And Tony's asking him, he's like, tell me about your experience, your stage life. Like, how does it all work? He's like, well, you know what, Tony? He's like, I'm backstage. And he's like, I'm getting hair and makeup done. Same pattern. And he says, I hear my band on stage, and they're going, and the crowd starts roaring, and I feel this energy pending up in my body, and I feel my heart start to race, and my palms start to sweat. And he's like, that's what I know. I'm ready.
Yeah, see?
Different meaning. And literally, like, that is the only difference, because what happens when we're really excited or in a passionate state, say making love and it's super spicy, as an example, or if we're going down a roller coaster, or if we're at the edge of a cliff, or if we're going to go skydiving, like any fear and any level of excitement, biochemically in our nervous system is the exact same experience. The difference is, what are you labeling it? That's
Totally.
literally neurologically the fact of, like, what are you labeling it? I, the other day, I wanted to figure out, I'm like, why have I never felt anxious? I've always called it nervous. And nervous is a lesser version of it. So I'm like, why have I never felt like, well, it's because I'm like, I've never called it anxiety, because I would have gone up here, but I've always called it nerves. So I'll be like, ooh, but that's about it.
100%.
And so the lesson here, I'll wrap this piece up with this. the words we attach to our experience become our actual experience. You know, nothing has any meaning until we give it one.
And you know, I think that that is so deep because, you know, not only just the fact that you can overcome your fears, you can overcome trauma, you can overcome feeling like you're not worth it, right? There's so many levels to this because it's like with the power that words have, like if you keep telling yourself that you're worthless, if you keep telling yourself that nobody's gonna love you, if you're gonna firmly always believe those things, like no matter what someone else can do for you, you need to recognize the self-responsibility of what you can do for yourself. And, you know, even myself as an example, back in the day, I used to be what people would call OCD. You know,
Right.
I wouldn't
Thank
touch
you for
doorknobs. And what's so funny about that is like, I just got over it. I just started touching the doorknob, recognizing that these germs aren't killing me. You know, everybody else is touching a doorknob and they make it through life. And why I thought that I was too good to touch a doorknob, but the more that I fed into that, the more
Yeah.
that I believe, oh my God, I can't touch it. Oh my God. Like you literally don't recognize how much power you have in your life. And if people can make these changes with things that they are doing to limit their life, imagine what people can do to benefit their life, to bring forth all of these things that you want. Like, let's circle back to Instagram and, you know, you viewing people on there and wanting things in your growth that you're seeing on there. Well, you have the power to go and do it if you recognize where you're holding yourself back and where you're putting your energy, where you're putting your time, where you're putting your thoughts. Am I right?
No, 100 million percent. And it's like, you know, the more we focus on the wrong things, like the more we, let's say if we believe that we can't have XYZ,
Yeah.
there's people talk about beliefs as like this just like airy fairy, like fluffy things, but beliefs are so powerful in that, like, if you believe that you can't have that body you're seeing on Instagram as an example,
Yeah.
it's going to be fucking impossible for one reason and one reason only. Not that you can't, but it's going to be impossible for you as the person who believes it. Because if I don't believe I can, my brain is never, ever, ever, ever going to consider, well, how might I be able to? Because it doesn't believe it can. So it shuts off any question of how can I do that?
Yeah.
How can I figure it out?
It's a dead end.
Until you can't, because your brain is like, nope, it's literally like a brick wall beside you that's like, any questions over here that might have helped you to get there ever, your brain cannot access it. It's like if you believe that millionaires, as an example, are selfish and they're assholes and they use people and they're whatever the other beliefs you have about it, your brain is never going to question, well, how can I make that kind of money? Because why would it try to get to something that it associates as, I'm not that kind of person? There's one other thing I wanted to mention because the Instagram example brought this up. And I think, like, with your audience, I would love to use your audience right now to get this message out because it relates to this anyway. Drives me, again, Bennett, there's a lot of things that drive me crazy about the mental health field. When people say, like, I have a low self-esteem or low self-worth or low self-confidence, whatever you want to call it, because of my childhood, here's what's interesting about our beliefs. We don't experience life. We experience what we assemble. Let me explain what I mean by this. Do you think it's true, Sarah, that, you know, you could be told your whole life, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you can do this, girl, you got this, you're so worthy, blah, blah, blah. And you go, no, I'm just not beautiful. You're just saying that. Do you think it's possible you could?
I think for sure there's probably a possibility because just experiences that I may have been through outside of that in and of itself.
Yep. And I want to go deeper on this too in a very fascinating way. You could flip it and say, there's been so many people with the opposite who've been told you're a piece of shit, you'll never make it, blah, 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 you're an ass, blah, 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 blah. And you say, you know what, you, I'm going to show you. And you just do something great.
Yeah.
So, as simple as that sounds, what happens is we create beliefs by what we assemble. I'm drawing this like example for everyone watching the video. Obviously, you can see it, but for those listening to the podcast, I'm using my hands. Take your one hand and make it flat up, so you can see what I'm doing on the podcast, and bring your fingers of your other hand below it. I want you to notice something. It looks like a tabletop, right?
Yeah.
A belief is only formed when you take a thought and you bring references, one, two, three, or in other words, memories,
Yeah.
one memory, two memory, three memories, that reference
That
to back
stabilize
up
it.
that truth. Yeah, exactly, to stabilize it. But people who've been told you're a piece of shit, blah, 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 blah. The reason they don't believe that they are, some of them, the reason they have a quote, high self-esteem or high self-worth is because they've decided to just, they had a thought one day of, you know what? No, I'm worth it, as an example. And then they just made shit up. They assembled the belief by saying, you know what? No, because other people can do it, so I can too. You know what? I have all the resources right here and I care about people, so I can too. I've made money at a job before, so why can't I figure out how to build a business? I can too. My friend is a big juicy booty, so I can't. And they just
Yeah,
assembled it.
totally.
Like, there doesn't need to be proof or experiences to create a belief. You just have to fucking decide. And then you will find all the references, even if you have to make them up, you'll find references to back up why you're so great. And I mean that in a good way.
Absolutely.
Like, there's this movie, I don't know if you've seen it, Sarah, called I Feel Pretty. Have you seen it with Amy Schumer?
No.
So your audience might have, and I think you'll find this is a psychologically interesting movie. It's a comedy, but this woman, long story, stupid short, she thinks she's ugly, fat, gross, blah, blah, blah. And one day she goes to the gym, she's on this like bicycle, and she's like, the class is like, the woman's motivating everyone, visualize in the mirror everything you want and it's gonna be great. Well, just being all funny, well, motivating. And she fucks up and she falls off the bike, hits her head. When she wakes up, she believes she's fucking beautiful. She believes she's this like king crap, like amazing person. And she the whole movie is her walking through different scenarios. And everything she's hearing and seeing is backing up that truth. And yet, as the viewer, we can see like that's not what she thought it was. That's not what she thought it was. But she's like, oh my God, you're whistling at me, when it was just, say, a construction worker whistling to the truck to back up. They're like, come here. And she turns around and she's like, oh my God, thank you. She thinks she's impactful. She's not. They're just telling their truck to back up. But
100%.
if we believe XYZ is true, you will absolutely find things to back it up. So if you believe you're an amazing person, you'll find shit to back it up, even if you've been abusive to people. If you believe that you're a piece of shit, even if you give and give and give and give and give and you care about people, you're gonna
You're
find
going to
ways
keep
to back up
focusing
your
on whatever it is that might be a weakness for you. And, you
100%.
know,
This is
that's what
why
I,
it's a responsibility thing. Yeah.
that's why it's a witch story.
No, you were talking about there needs to be a level of self-responsibility for like, what are we doing in our head that's creating the feelings? That's what I was relating that to.
And I think that that's great because that is what I want our listeners to get from this podcast is their power in their own life. You know, we're
Yeah.
not going to touch base on medications. We've done that in actually the episode prior where we went over anxiety and depression. But I want us to recognize that, you know, if you have been feeling anxious, if you have been feeling depressed, and you have been thinking about going to the doctor and jumping on medication, I want you to take a moment to really recognize what have you been feeding yourself? And as a personal trainer, you know, it comes on all different levels, right? Because when we aren't feeding ourselves well, nutrition-wise, it gets hard to think properly, okay? When we're not moving our body and getting sunlight on our face, like that is so important for us as human beings. We don't recognize our daily needs of what we actually need in order to survive. We think that in order to survive, we need a Netflix subscription, we need DoorDash or Skip the Dishes, you know what I mean? But that is not the shit that's allowing for us to be in a heightened state where we can recognize our self-responsibility. Because when we're not taking care of ourselves physically, it's impossible to take care of ourselves mentally. And that's a message that I just want to get across is that if you are somebody who's struggling, I want you to take an assessment. How are you feeding yourself physically? How are you moving your body? How are you talking to yourself more than anything else? And based off of this, if you are struggling with anything in regards to, you know, having a fear towards something, feeling like you are struggling with anxiety in certain situations, I want you to really think about your belief pattern and everything that we talked about here. What are these beliefs that you're bringing forward that makes you get to that emotion, right? Because you aren't you aren't struggling with a mental disorder. You know, it's really cool to be able to see mental health and really just science of the human body transform over the years. Because when you look back like 100 years ago, not even 100, but like even like 60 some years ago, they were putting people into institutions and killing them if they felt like they weren't mentally there, if they were struggling with anxiety, if they were struggling with depression. And what's so funny is that it's a whole level of pre-programming. And what I want you to recognize is that we can help program you in a way that serves your life. There's always going to be influence in this world where people want to influence you in a way that benefits them, not that influences you in a way that benefits you. And this podcast is something that can influence you in a way that actually benefits you, because you have the power to take control of your life, to be able to build your future, to recognize that nobody else can break you down. And no matter what it is that you go through, that you can overcome that. And that's what I really want you guys to understand from this podcast episode. So, Tyler, is there anything else that you want to add in there with what I've just mentioned?
Yes, one last thing, and this is kind of a 50,000 foot view of life, but I look at life as two kind of master lessons that we all need to learn. And one of them is the science of achievement. Like, if there's something that you want, don't think about the how. Think about who's already gotten the result. Because if I want that result too, all I need to figure out is what do they believe about themselves or the result that they have? What do they believe? Because if I just believe what they believe, I will eventually just manifest it, so to speak. Because I'll do the things, et cetera. I will get the result. So that's
Totally.
the one thing. Don't start with how. Start with who has it? What do I need to believe in order to attain it? That's number one. But number two, I said there's two master lessons. How many of us have ever hit a goal? It does not matter what the goal is, and you're excited for 7 seconds and you're like, oh, this is boring. I thought it would feel like more, right? The second thing that we have to master in life is the art of fulfillment. I get the call, or nowadays, I guess you'd call it the direct message. I get the message from the person who wants to kill themselves, and knock on wood, I've not lost one yet. But the
Amen.
reason is because people who are in such a dark place like that, they usually, not always, but they usually have achieved a lot of great shit, but they're so goddamn unfulfilled with it that, like, if you don't have that fulfillment in your life, it doesn't really matter what else you have. So what I'm so grateful to Sarah for is inviting me on this podcast to express that, like, number one, you can have whatever you want in this life. You like dream it, you can do it. That sounds positive thinking, but it's true. We've been on the fucking moon. Like, what else do you want? Do it. But if you're not going to feel alive, if you're not going to feel a sense of deep purpose and meaning in the thing you're doing, you're eventually going to feel anxious or depressed at some level, because life is about growth. Life is about contributing beyond yourself. Life is about more than just achieving. It's about feeling fulfilled. So no strategies on how to do that, because that is as different as there are people, or there is the forest. There's nothing that's linear. There's nothing that is the same. What fulfills Sarah is going to be very different than me and the next person as well. But don't just chase achievement. You can have anything you want, but make sure you're fulfilled along the way.
Absolutely. And I think that just to touch on that fulfillment aspect, you know, that's what so many people are missing, is that feeling of fulfillment. And we need to recognize that, you know, a lot of the time we don't recognize what we have until it's taken away from us. And so I really want you guys to take a moment as well to look around at your life. And if some of these things were pulled away from you right now and you weren't able to get them back, how bad was life really? How much did you really not have, right? So just flip that perspective. Like, if you're like, I know so many people are like, you just got to believe that you're enough. You just got to believe that what you have is enough. Well, think of what you have being taken away, because it's in those instances, those hardships, that you end up finding that fulfillment if you're willing to recognize, hey, shit actually wasn't that bad, you know? So I really think that that would be a great exercise for everybody too. But we have given them so much great information. I love having you on, Tyler. It's always such a great learning experience for myself as well. I love the way that you break down the analogies, and I just think that so much of this is going to be able to resonate with the listeners and also allow them to take control of their life, of their emotions, and recognize that they're not depicted by a label of anxiety, depression, PTSD, suicide, whatever it is. You aren't that person. It's emotions that you're feeling and that they have the ability to get over it. But with you being the emotional expert, we would love to hear where we can find you. I know that there's going to be a lot of listeners that'll want to reach out and maybe go into some of those group sessions, if you still do one-to-one sessions, give a little bit back of a background of what you currently offer and where people can find you.
Absolutely. So, I do private coaching, but a lot less now because I found what's a lot more powerful is to have a bunch of people who are going through similar things, empowering each other through them, especially obviously with my guidance. And
Love that.
so I have a program called Lasting Change Coaching, and I called it that because it is lasting change coaching. It's not supposed to be public, let's be clear. And basically what we honestly do is the first part is just getting through any of the anxieties or the feelings of depression or labels that you've been, labels that you have accepted onto yourself, even by accident. And then we just maximize life. Like, what is it you really want? And what are all the beliefs that you need to get rid of and replace in order to get them? So it's really about maximizing the quality of your life. With that
Love that.
said, I'm fudging obsessed with this, like beyond measure. And you can find me at Tyler.charlebois on Instagram. That's Charlebois. I'm sure you can see us somewhere around the podcast that you're listening to right now or watching. But that is where you can find me. That's my primary place. Otherwise, you can also find me at my podcast at Life Unfiltered with Tyler Charlebois. I should get Sarah on there eventually too.
Absolutely. I would love that. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. Like I said, it is always a pleasure having you on this podcast, and I look forward to the next time that we get to do something for the listeners.
Me as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and you know that I will catch you next week.
And that's another honest episode dropped. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Naked in Truth, where we come together every Monday morning to set the week off with intention. Don't forget to head over to our Instagram page at Naked in Truth Podcast to stay up to date on future episodes, guest speakers, and other kick-ass info that can help you continue to create your impact. And you know that reviews are so valuable when it comes to building a community of like-minded people. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please drop some love on Apple Podcast reviews and share this episode with someone who you think needs it. Thank you guys so much again for tuning into today's episode. I'll catch you next Monday. And don't forget, love always wins.